Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
A long December, and there's reason to believe.
I mean, every week we evaluate different things, try to see how we can try to improve. We definitely have to get certain guys up to speed so that they can get out there and contribute at a higher level. But we're going to continually look at everything to try to see how we can get better. And yes, we all have high expectations. I mean, every game we go into it, we want to win that football game. We feel like we can, and we just got to do a better job across the board, and it starts with me.
Broken. Absolutely broken. And we just got done talking to James Marillac. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. And just got done talking to James, who said he thinks Nathaniel Hackett not only will be safe throughout the rest of this season, but in the next season as well, because George Payton does not want to fire Nathaniel Hackett because then it would reflect poorly on Payton. Well, if that's the case, then if they're in full CYA mode over there, then this is your first big test, Greg Penner. This is your first big test, new ownership group. You get one chance to make a good first impression. And Broncos country will not have a favorable response if status quo goes into next year. No way. No way.
Broncos country will not have if they don't do something today.
Right. Right.
If something doesn't get done today, I mean, when's the next home game? You're going to Baltimore, right? And
yeah.
You're going to go to Baltimore and get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're garbage.
Then you get December 11th. It's scheduled to be a Sunday night game against Kansas City. There's no way.
There's no way the NFL is going to let that. That right there.
That has to be done by tomorrow, by the way, if they're going to flex it out.
Yeah. Well, but by the way, that right there should tell you everything you need to know if you're the ownership group.
Right.
We're going to get flexed out of a Sunday night game.
Right.
Because are that pathetic. Because you think they want to flex? Do you think they want to flex Mahomes and Travis Kelce out?
I'm here.
They're flexing you out because you suck.
Yeah, you have much more attractive games that you could flex in.
The Jets.
Jets and Bills.
The Jets are more attractive. I mean, go down the. There's not a team in the NFL.
Eagles, Giants. There you go. Eagles, Giants. You gotta flex Eagles, Giants.
Mike,
up.
There's not one game. There's not. Now, I think you have some protection rights too from the other networks. But the bottom line is, there's probably every game, every team in the NFL.
Dolphins, Chargers
is more attractive than the Broncos. There's the Broncos. If you put a short list of the worst teams in football, like the teams that nobody wants to watch in America, the seriously.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
If you put together three teams, there's nobody wanted to watch Carolina, Denver. But if you look at three teams in the NFL, they are one of the three teams that not one person in America wants to see.
Next in Four Down.
Second down.
Well, Mike and I are on the same page. You know, he came off after they kicked the field goal, and he was pissed off. He just said, "We gotta F and go." You know, and I agree. You know, so me and him on the same page. We, you know, there's no animosity there at all. We're on the same page. We gotta win.
I love unrehearsed Russ. Like when it's real. Like I don't know how to answer that question. Oh, we're same page. The nervous laughter, Russ.
Uh-huh.
Dude, you're on the same page. No, you just got your ass reamed by one of your defensive players. It was trickling down your leg. Oh, jeez.
Can you ever imagine a defensive player lighting up Peyton Manning like that, or Tom Brady like that, or Aaron Rodgers like that? Oh,
can't
my
do it.
Oh, man. All right, so we're going to have a little fun here because what do you think Mike Purcell really said to Russell Wilson? Okay, have some fun with that, all right? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. In your mind, what did Mike Purcell say to Russell Wilson? Have some fun with that. Next and four. Next and four down.
Third down.
Yeah, it really does. Not only personally, I think for the team, I think the top line here has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So, you know, anytime the third or fourth line kind of chip in, I think it's huge for us.
Hey, Dryden Hunt getting his first goal. First goal of the season for the Avalanche as the Avs get a win over Dallas. You know, it was an interesting quote. You brought it up. It jumped out at you because your big theme today is accountability. And right. Jared Bednar talked about how some guys on the third and fourth line over the weekend earned their ice time.
Right.
And what a concept, because the only thing you can really do in pro sports as a coach, the only real power you have with the kind of money these guys make and everything, the only power you have is playing time. That's the one thing that you can say, nope, I don't care how much you make. Nope. I don't care where you were drafted. Nope.
Right.
You're not playing. That's the only power you have. And if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, what do you got to lose at this point? I would bench Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson does not deserve to play right now. There's nothing about his performance that said. Do you realize the Denver Broncos, Mark, have scored 14 points per game? That is the lowest of any NFL team through this deep in the season since the 2000 Cleveland Browns.
Here comes the airplane.
What was the 2000 Cleveland Browns record? Gosh, could you... 14 points a game.
14 points.
Dude, you're right. You know, we used to say it all the time, man. Hey, watch out. They're going to take away recess. You're not going to get a... Like, remember when you were a kid and you got in trouble and you had to like stay in and write on the chalkboard or what, and they just took away your recess? You're not allowed to go out and play? I mean, it was just, it was like the worst thing ever, right? That's what you have as players. That's what you have to do. Take away recess. Don't let the guys go out to recess. Be done with it. I mean, at some point, don't you have to have some consequences to just how poorly you've played?
Avalanche lose over holiday weekend. They lose at home to Vancouver, get rained out, water main damage in Nashville, then come back and beat Dallas 4-1. Two games against Dallas, so by the way, in the last 10 days, in which Dallas wanted to try to make some kind of a statement, and the Avalanche said, no. So yeah, Dallas still leads the division, but everybody understands, at least right now, they're a fraud first place team. Next in four down.
One, two, three.
Fourth down.
You look at how they tried to guard us. They were trying to hide Zubats, and they had Terrence Mann on Nicola to start. I don't know how many times Zubats was actually guarding Nicola tonight. When he was, I think our pick and roll was really effective. Jamal found Nicola in the pocket, where I think Nicola is the best in the pocket player in the NBA, because he's going to kill you with the floater. He's going to find somebody for a three or for a dunk. We just didn't fight it. No matter who was on, it didn't matter. Play our game, move the ball, value the ball, and you know, it was just another impressive road win for us.
Yeah, Nuggets bounced back after that stinker at home to Detroit last week. Impressive road wins at Oklahoma City and at the Clippers against a depleted Clipper team, but who cares? Nuggets with a couple of bounce back wins. And here's the thing about the Nuggets. They have had one of the most really bizarre schedules to start the season. If you look at how road heavy their schedule is, I'll give you a quick example. All right. So the Nuggets right now are number two in the Western Conference, by the way. Quietly, they are number two despite playing six home games and 13 road games. Compare that with Phoenix, which is the number one team in the Western Conference, only by a game, by the way. The Nuggets only one game away from being the top team in the Western Conference. The Suns have played 12 home games to the Nuggets, six home games, and the Suns have played seven road games to the Nuggets, 13. Nuggets have a bunch of home games coming up with a chance to grab the top spot in the Western Conference. How about that, all you Michael Malone haters?
Yes. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love Michael Malone. Love what they're doing right now. Good for them. And I can't believe, like, it's hard to believe that they've had that discrepancy from home and away. That's kind of crazy.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Coming up. Okay, Mark, it's a question that we ask every single week. I got to ask it again. Why is Russell Wilson this bad? That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, Mark, even though the Broncos lost last week, there was some hope that with the switch to Clint Kubiak calling plays and what we saw in the first half against the Raiders, that, hey, maybe there was something here happening. Maybe there was some positive signs that they could build upon. And even if this was going to be a lost season, at least you could feel like the offense and Russell Wilson was trending in the right direction. Instead, they took a massive, massive step backwards yesterday. Why? Clint Kubiak was still calling plays. What happened?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, listen, I know we do Telestrator Tuesday, and I'm going to download this film. I'm looking forward to looking at it. I shouldn't say that. I'm not really looking forward to looking at it. But I'm interested to look at it just to see, because what I saw was even some of the underneath stuff. You're completing underneath, and I think about, like, hey, man, how many times do I call a game where a quarterback throws it underneath and somebody breaks a tackle and makes somebody miss, and then they get the first down, and it's, you get excited about it, and they're like, hey, man, that's a great effort. Do you remember seeing any great efforts, like, where somebody actually made somebody miss underneath? Like, no, they get tackled, and we punt the ball. And then I'm thinking, well, they tried the boot keep game and get Russell Wilson some easy throws on the edge, but they don't run enough to make those defensive ends commit and to get down there and to get involved in the run game, because they can stop it without doing that. They can stop it without having those things happen. So, I look at that and say, well, that doesn't work. I mean, like, you can't even get to the edge. So, I would love to tell you that I could figure it out, but frankly, I'm at odds right now, and that's why I'm looking forward to actually looking at the film to just see, is there anything, like, my takeaway, and I don't know what you want, like, what would you like me to look for?
Well, I'd like you to look, first of all, the things that were different when Kubiak was calling plays, did he at least try to continue to do those differences, or did they just simply go back? I mean, at my first glance, just a quick recollection of what I watched, I don't recall them being under center that much again.
Well, they started under center. I mean, but here's the deal. Whether you're under center or whether you're not under center, I mean, you still... like, nothing you're doing is actually working. Okay, I ended up getting the film. So the film came in while we've been sitting here. I didn't have it early this morning, but I have the film now. And
well, why don't you say, because you got to leave a little early, because folks,
right.
quick travel, planes, trains, and automobiles with Mark Schlereth. He called a game in our nation's capital yesterday and is in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
So that's...
I get stuck in our nation's capital, and I couldn't get home last night. And so here I sit.
In Minnesota, of all places.
In Minnesota, doing a radio show from my room.
So
I've got that going for me.
But you will be flying out this morning, so you'll have to leave around 8 o'clock. So, yeah, if you could look a little bit between now and 7:45, right before you leave, I'd love to get some quick observations with the understanding we'll get into it much more tomorrow. You said you were looking forward to watching Russ, and then you stopped yourself. Actually, I think it is something you should look forward to, because the collapse, the fall of Russell Wilson this year is one of the most fascinating stories in the NFL. I know right now we're living the pain of it all, but at least for the NFL world, watching the collapse of Russell Wilson is one of the most compelling stories out there, because right. It's so hard to understand how a guy who is 2 years removed, no major injuries. Yes, he hurt his thumb, but he came back from that last year and certainly looked fine by the end of the season. Here's a guy who threw for 40 touchdown passes just 2 years ago. And even last year, despite being hurt, played at a high level. Certainly finished the season at a high level. To see a guy who is, his confidence is shot. I thought James Merrillat made an excellent point. Go back, and maybe that should be something you do for Telestrayer Tuesday. Just go back and look at the body language of Russell Wilson week one against Seattle this year versus what you saw yesterday. Because I think what it'll tell you is that this is a guy who is completely lost. He doesn't know what to do out there. He doesn't trust what he's seen. He doesn't trust anything that he's doing out there. Anything. And it does make for a fascinating story. Painful, but fascinating.
It is. And there's probably, I look back on what I watched this morning already. Maybe Mike, a couple, I remember him throwing a slant to, maybe it was Hinton. I can't remember exactly who it was. In that final drive, that, you know, the touchdown drive they put together, where he hit the back of the last step in his drop and just let it eat. And I took just kind of a mental note to myself. I was like, that's the first time I've seen him throw the ball with confidence and authority.
Yeah.
Where you looked at it and you're like, oh, okay, that, like, all right, well, that's one that he had where he was like, hey, man, I know where I want to go with the football. But other than that, did you remember him really just dropping back and going, okay, I'm going to let this thing eat. I'm going to go. I don't remember one throw where I looked at it and said, wow, that looked good. That looked real.
I don't think there's anything, for all the things that are wrong with him, I don't think there's anything wrong with his arm talent. But there's no conviction. There's no confidence in the way he throws the football. Absolutely none.
Yeah, it's almost as though, I mean, it's almost as though he has no recollection. Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm talking to.
Hey, what, can you hold that? Can you hold that thought?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna. I want to come back then. I want to give you a chance. You have the game film on the Exos Thundercloud. So start taking a look at that. We'll go around the division. Some highlights from what we saw yesterday, including why I got to give a ton of credit to two head coaches in the NFL yesterday. That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Wilson, end zone, caught, touchdown Broncos, Brandon Johnson.
Chris Myers on the call. It was awesome. We got a "This is sad" from Chris Myers. We even got a Chris Myers quote, "Broncos fans deserve better." You work with Chris a lot. It takes a lot for him to get fired up to the point where he makes an editorial comment like that, huh? Mark?
Yes. Yes.
Yes and yes?
Yes. Yeah, it may take some. But it was, like, you call a game like that that's as pathetic as that. And, I mean, like from the first play of the game when you throw a bubble screen over to, I don't know if it was Dulcich or who it was, but you got Kendall Hinton on the point. He took blocking classes from Cortland Sutton. This throws the angle, like, I don't know, man. I the footwork, the angle, like, who's coaching you how to block people?
Even the touchdown. You ready for this?
Technique.
Even the touchdown. How laborious was this touchdown? First of all, you had the Sutton touchdown, but it got overturned because the heel touchdown. Then you had Dulcich touchdown, but he was out of bounds and then came back into play, so that was taken away. Then you had Russ called for a delay of penalty. Then you had a roughing the quarterback that keeps the drive alive again. Then you have Sutton drop a touchdown. And then finally, Brandon Johnson scores. It was the most exhausting touchdown I think I've ever seen a team finally score.
This is sad.
Thank you. Chris Myers.
Mahomes guns it over the middle, caught 20-yard line, in the 15-yard line, angling near side with the block, 10-5, Kelce stretches out for the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City!
I'm here.
Yeah. That was nice to have. How nice must it be to follow a team where you're playing a completely overmatched team, gutted team like the Los Angeles Rams, and there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that you're going to win the game. It's not going to look impressive, but there's absolutely no doubt that they'll just go out and put together a little workmanlike effort, post the W, and move on.
Right.
No fuss, no muss.
And you go out there and you think to yourself, we're not going to show our good stuff.
Right.
Right? We're going to work on our stuff that hasn't really worked so far this year. And you know, and I remember being really good in doing this. Like, we may see this team in the playoffs, or we may see this team down, you know, we're gonna let you look at all our good stuff. We're just gonna basically run our basic stuff. Like, we're not even gonna get anything exotic. Like, we're better than you just running our run of the mill, you know, very vanilla, static formationally. We're just better than you, so we're just going to play you that way, so that you know, if we see you later on down in the playoffs or whatever, you know, we're going to have something. You know, we're going to have something exotic for you then, but we're not wasting that on you right now.
Hands off to Jacob, stutters to the right, bursts through the hole, 20, 25, 30, he's off to the races, here in Seattle, nobody's going to catch him, 25, 20, 10, bye-bye Josh, 86 yards in overtime to walk it off for a second straight week.
Raiders Radio, Josh Jacobs, have yourself a day, a combined 303 yards from scrimmage yesterday. 229 yards rushing, 74 receiving. The Raiders are now 4-7. The Broncos are going to finish. Hey, if I can give you one little bit of silver lining optimistic news, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, they're not going to be able to use their own first round pick in the top three this year. That'll go to Seattle. But at least the Broncos will play a last place schedule next year. How about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's great. You know, just a week ago, that game between the Raiders and the Broncos, that, you know, we got our phrases that pays in, and we called that game. Just a week ago, the loser of that game, the coach was, you know, going to be fired. That was the prevailing thought. Josh McDaniels' team is trending upwards, and Nathaniel Hackett, even after a loss in Carolina, is still employed.
still employed. Those storylines, they write themselves, but they don't necessarily pay off, do they? No. Still waiting.
Herbert from the shotgun. Win or lose, Eckler goes in motion. Herbert to pass. Caught! It's good! It's good! Herbert to Gerald Everett! And they take a one-point lead.
Win or lose. Props to Brandon Staley with the Chargers, Doug Peterson with the Jaguars. Both teams in situations where they scored, they had momentum, and instead of kicking the extra point and playing for overtime, 2 yards away, they go for the two-point conversion, get it, and win. I love that. I love that. I think it's the absolute right play. And I'm glad to see both coaches, two examples, 2 for 2 yesterday, where it worked out. It paid off for teams. I wish more teams would do that in that situation.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because, like, Staley, there's a lot of people that think his job's on the line, right? And
yeah, they lose yesterday. They're 5-6.
Yeah, and you look at, like, a guy right now that's working for Fox and Sean Payton that wants to get back in, that is going to have teams courting him. Like, that was one where, I mean, I almost wonder if Charger fans are almost disappointed, because that's one where Sean Payton would love, like, love. He bought a house in Malibu. His house is literally 2 miles away from where they're building their new facility.
That is an interesting one. If you're the Charger, if you're a Charger fan, do you look at the greater good? Do you sacrifice the here and now for the greater good? Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question. But they get the win. They're 6-5, and they are still very much alive in the playoff hunt. That is what is trending around the rest of the AFC West while we live here in the pit of misery, dilly dilly. Mark has had a chance to get a quick look at some of the game film that has downloaded for him. Some observations coming up next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Well, I guess the biggest story, there's two big stories. One is how is Nathaniel Hackett and I guess George Payton both still employed right now? Two, how did some of the optimism that we felt coming out of the Raider game with some of the differences that we saw with Clint Kubiak calling plays, why didn't they build on that yesterday? Instead, they took another huge step backwards. So you've had a chance. The game film, coach's film, has been downloaded on your Exos Thundercloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll dive into it deeper as you get ready to fly home from Minnesota. Yes, folks, he was in D.C. yesterday calling a game, but he's somehow in Minnesota right now. So
yeah.
Such is the state of travel.
Your guess is as good as mine.
In our country right now. But some of the opening salvos and observations of what you saw yesterday on the wretched game film.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of things. And, like, I've gone through the first couple of drives, which was pretty quick. You know,
yeah, when, yeah. Don't blink.
Right? Yeah. Like right off the bat, like I don't know how you come out of a game and like you've put it together, you put the game plan together, you've walked through it, you've talked about it, you met, you know, Saturday night, and you put up your first 15, so you knew what was coming out, you knew like you practiced it, Mike, right? The very first play, and you can't execute a block on the at the point of a, you know, of a bunch formation. Your guy, and he's, you know, he plays hard, and he's an overachiever, and Kendall Hinton, but the footwork is like it's so poorly coached. The footwork, the jumping outside of a guy that you have to block, and completely getting turned, completely getting, like, it is, it's footwork and hand placement 101. It is, it's the first thing, and it's consistent. You know, I mean, then we're going to run basically a duo play where everybody gets double, you can't execute double teams. Every guy gets, like, What can I say? Like, those are things, Mike, those are standard plays that everybody runs. Standard plays. And we talk about, hey, Russell Wilson's no good. Well, he's not good. He's played horribly. But when you start the game and it's second down and 12 because your receiver can't execute a simple block where the guy is standing on you press, it's not even like you got to go down the field in open space. He's pressed on you, and you can't execute that, and you give up a on a bubble screen, you give up minus two, and you're starting at second down and 12? Sorry.
So this has nothing to do with playing backups and guys that are normally reserves. This is still stuff that, hey, if you're in the NFL, even if you're a backup guy, a fringe roster guy, this is stuff that you should still be able to do. Correct?
You should do it better. Because that's what you're asked to. You're not asked to go win games. You're not asked to go, hey, man, we need you on this route and we need you. No, these are the things that you're allowed to do. You play special teams. So you're used to changing angles you should be used to changing angles and blocking people. I mean, this is just a failure, an epic failure at every level of coaching. When I watch just piss poor footwork along the offensive line, that's coaching failure. And I will tell you this, this theory of, hey, we want to, you know, hire a bunch of, hey, no coach over four. I read some article about they didn't want to hire coaches over 40 years old. Well, here's what you get. Because, it's god awful.
Yeah, these are things that you could have been working on Thursday, which is typically the hardest work day of a NFL week when you're playing on a Sunday, but that would have interfered with guys being home to be able to whip up mashed potatoes
right,
for Thanksgiving
right.
dinner. We can't have that. It's much more important that we have some family time for our guys than actually work on footwork and proper blocking techniques.
I'd have been miserable if they'd have given us Thursday off and we didn't have to come in.
You'd have had to work.
Right, I would have been
Mrs.
like,
S would have put you to work on the chow line. You'd have been like,
I'd have been like, what? I got to do what?
Yeah,
hey, I loved, fat slob,
get over there and mash me some potatoes.
I loved going in. Right, I love going in. I'm always in at 5 a.m. anyhow, but I'm in there just knowing the turkey's in the oven right about now. When I come home, there's going to be a bunch of them little tiny pickles and those tiny onions and
delicious
the little poo-poo platter.
Yes,
like I'm in. I'm going to come home all fat and worked up a powerful hunger out there on a cold Thanksgiving day practicing. I'm just going to chow and then sleep on the couch and, you know, eventually I'll go find a quiet restroom to clear the pathway for leftovers. I mean, you know. Yes. What a good day.
Sounds like a good day the way you lay it all out.
Right. It's just a great day.
Oh, man. Yeah. But but this Broncos team that's been doing nothing but losing for 6 years, certainly they've earned the right to have a glamping training camp, glamping training camp, and also have, let's see, you go into your bye week, and most teams actually usually practice for a couple days before they go off on their bye, but now the Broncos get the whole week off. And then they get Thanksgiving Day off. And, because this team has earned that. This team has earned the right to be rewarded. Wow. Okay, so I've got to read this one.
All right.
It's from one of your main nemesis.
Yeah.
Shaner.
Come on. Shaner.
And I got to give Shaner his props because I wasn't sure, so I went back and looked. Because when you text us, we can look at some of your past texts, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have to give him credit. He has been sending this specific text since August.
Okay.
And he sent it again. So it says this. Okay, turd biscuits, I want my props now. Stinker made fun of me in the preseason and after six games for this take. And here it is. He said it in August. Same old Broncos. Bring in a washed-up veteran QB. Hire a clueless first-time head coach. Ignore the O-line in the draft and reach for often-injured free agents. Peyton is the same as Elway because Elway hired him. Fire Peyton, fire Hackett, and start selling Shaner sunblock. Stinker.
Let's rock.
So he, to his credit, he said that way back in August. So I thought I'd give him his props.
Okay, well,
he saw it
first off. Like, is Russell Wilson, like, is he washed? He's not washed up. I mean, is he playing poorly? Yes. I think one of the things that we...
You think he can be salvaged?
Well, of course, Mike. You don't go from throwing 40 touchdowns and, you know, and having the kind of career he's had to being off. You've got to get an adult. One, you have to have an adult coach him. You have to have somebody that understands his weaknesses and his propensities to try to freelance, and you got to take that out of his game, and you got to have somebody that understands complementary football and how to piece it all together, and they have not been able to do any of that, and somebody that understands how important the offensive line is and the running scheme is and to marry your run scheme with your play action stuff and also how to marry your run to your run. And that none of that has happened. And so, it's it's the Pete Carroll syndrome. You know, Pete Carroll kept Russell Wilson from himself. And you've opened this thing up and you've exposed Russell Wilson is, hey, Russell Wilson, and this is not a bad thing. Russell Wilson turns out he's a system quarterback. Like, he's got to have a great system around him to keep him out of those dangerous situations and then occasionally let him freelance, you know, when things break down. But freelancing all the time, that's not an offense. That's schoolyard. That's what they do in Arizona with Kyler Murray. Doesn't work.
Tomorrow is Telestrator Tuesday, but I've got a different homework assignment for you for tomorrow.
Okay.
I want you to go back and watch the Broncos on offense, Russell on offense, week one against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch the Broncos on offense yesterday. And I want you to tell me what the differences are. Because in that first game, Russell Wilson, yeah, they only scored 16 points. But the body language, the production, Russ was 29 of 42 for 340 yards, a touchdown, and was only sacked twice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your observations of what was going on in that game, and then fast forward to what we watched yesterday and what the differences are. Because I have a feeling you're going to look at it and go, I can't believe that's the same quarterback.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch 11 games.
No. I know. I do. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm a real demanding professor.
I'm like, wait a minute. I've got another game I got to prepare for, too.
Who you got this week, by the way?
I've got Green Bay at Chicago.
Oh, man. Just when I was looking forward to you getting an Aaron Rodgers game, it looks like Aaron's going to be on the shelf.
I know it.
Well, will you still get a chance to talk to Aaron? I want to know where you guys are right now. I want to know where the relationship.
I do too.
I know. I want to know. A lot has happened
right
in the last
room.
Yes,
and see if you know, and see if I got the stink eye. And,
right. A lot has happened. When was the last time you did? You got to a chance to sit down with Aaron. When was that? Was that before all this went down? The trade and. The possibility of a Wilson or Aaron Rodgers trade, if you haven't done a game with him since the infamous draft night report, right?
No, I have not. I have not. Maybe 2019?
Yeah.
Since I've done a game with Aaron?
Oh man. I need to know how you guys are.
I think we're fine.
You think so?
We're gonna be fine.
Oh, scandalous!
Okay.
But no, I don't want you to watch 11 games. I just want you to watch the Broncos on offense week one, and the Broncos on offense yesterday. That's it.
Okay, I just want you to watch these six games. Then
shouldn't take you too long. Then get back.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Boy, if things don't change dramatically, what would have been Aaron Rodgers versus Justin Fields could be Jordan Love against Trevor Siemian.
The Simmessiah.
But then again, you get to see the Simmessiah.
Right.
Guy that you...
I did a game with the Simmessiah last year.
That's right.
In Philadelphia against New Orleans. It was not good. It was not a...
Just think, if you had it your way, you would have given that guy 7 years, $60 million.
He's better than Russell.
Yes, he is. Right now, a Trevor Siemian contract.
Hey, I accept your apologies.
That's true. I would much rather take a Trevor Siemian contract right now than Russ's contract.
See? Thank you.
Ultimately,
look on the bright side.
You get the
even
last
when
laugh.
Even when I'm wrong, I'm right.
Oh, my goodness. So, no, you don't have to watch six games, okay? You just got to watch two.
Okay.
All right. But I'm really curious because I think the first thing you're going to, when you do this homework assignment tomorrow or tonight, you got time. Come on. You're going to be flying back from Minnesota. Just do that on the plane while you're flying home. And I think the first thing you're going to notice is, wow, Russ's energy and body language is... I think it'll be stunning to you. I really do.
Right.
I really do. I think you're going to look and go, wow, That's how he looked week one.
You know what I'm going
to
do?
Compared to what he looks like right now.
I'm going to put all the passes up from week one, because I can separate those. All his passing plays, and so you'll see his dropbacks, and you'll see everything, and see from a route combination standpoint, and the energy or authority he throws the ball with, and then, you know, juxtapose them to yesterday.
Yeah. Please do that, okay? I can't wait.
Done.
Well, you've got to leave. Say hello to Nate Jackson, who is coming out of the bullpen, Nate, to rescue you.
What's up, Stink? How are you, man? Good to hear you.
I'm good. I'm better than the Broncos. Let me just say, even though I'm stuck in Minneapolis, I'm better than the Broncos.
Yeah, you and everyone else. That was pretty ugly, man. That was pretty ugly. How'd you get stuck? Was it a snowstorm or something?
No.
It was rain in D.C. You cannot fly in the rain in D.C., apparently. I don't know. Unbelievable. Anyhow, I'm going to roll. I got to run to the plane. You guys have a great one.
All right, dude. Take care. There he goes. Thanks. Mark Schlereth.
Later, Mark.
The one and only Mark Schlereth is on his way from Minnesota. Yes, he called a game in D.C. yesterday and somehow ended up in Minnesota, but we thank him for the 2 hours he was able to give this morning. Nate Jackson is here.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.